In a world where aging celebrities pay $25,000 for stem cell facials and desperate patients travel globally for unproven treatments, Jonathan Slack's exploration of stem cell science cuts through the hype with refreshing clarity. As Oprah Winfrey once highlighted on her influential show, stem cells represent the future of medicine. Yet this future remains tantalizingly just beyond our grasp. Slack's work arrives at a critical moment when stem cell research occupies the intersection of groundbreaking science, ethical debate, and popular imagination. From Barack Obama's reversal of Bush-era research restrictions to Silicon Valley billionaires investing millions in regenerative medicine startups, stem cells have transcended pure science to become a cultural phenomenon. This comprehensive exploration takes us from the laboratory to the clinic, revealing both the extraordinary promise and sobering reality of what many consider the most important biological discovery since DNA. At their core, stem cells possess two defining characteristics that make them unique among the body's 210 different cell types. They can reproduce themselves indefinitely, self-renewal, and generate offspring that differentiate into specialized cells, potency. This remarkable dual capacity allows them to serve as both a reservoir of new cells and a factory for specialized tissue components. These properties are carefully regulated through complex molecular pathways, including key genes like OCT4, SOX2, and NANOG, which maintain the stem cell state. To understand how stem cells function in the body, consider your skin, a tissue that completely replaces itself every few weeks. Deep in the basal layer of your epidermis reside epidermal stem cells that divide asymmetrically, producing one daughter cell that remains a stem cell and another that begins a journey of transformation. This second cell, now committed to differentiation, moves upward through the epidermis, producing keratin proteins that give skin its protective properties, before eventually dying and being shed from the surface. This process occurs continuously, with approximately 30,000-40,000 cells being shed every hour, demonstrating the remarkable regenerative capacity of stem cells. What makes stem cells truly special is their microenvironment, or niche, a specialized local ecosystem that supports their function. In skin, stem cells associate with dermal papillae. In intestines, they nestle alongside Paneth cells in crypts. In bone marrow, they reside near blood vessels. These niches provide crucial signals that maintain stemness and prevent inappropriate differentiation. The niche includes both cellular and non-cellular components, such as growth factors, extracellular matrix proteins, and mechanical forces. For example, in bone marrow, osteoblasts secrete factors like CXCL12 that help retain hematopoietic stem cells in their niche. The study of stem cells relies heavily on tissue culture, growing cells outside the body in artificial media. This technique, pioneered in the late 19th century and refined by Alexis Carrel, became widespread in the 1950s with the development of commercial media and antibiotics. When tissue fragments are placed in culture, only certain cells migrate out and grow, typically forming a monolayer on plastic surfaces. Once confluent, these cells are subcultured, using enzymes like trypsin to detach them for continued growth in fresh containers. Modern stem cell culture has evolved to include specialized techniques like suspension culture for embryonic stem cells and 3D organoid systems that better mimic natural tissue architecture. However, tissue culture comes with two critical limitations. First, it accelerates cellular evolution through selection of advantageous mutations, potentially creating cells quite different from their original state. For instance, cells may acquire chromosomal abnormalities or altered growth properties after prolonged culture. Second, the artificial environment profoundly alters gene expression, meaning cultured cells often behave differently than their counterparts in living tissue. Studies have shown that up to 30% of genes may show altered expression patterns in cultured cells. These limitations become particularly important when considering therapeutic applications, as they can affect both safety and efficacy of stem cell-based treatments. Recent advances in biomaterials and tissue engineering are helping address these challenges by creating more physiologically relevant culture environments. Embryonic stem, ES, cells represent one of the most powerful yet controversial tools in modern biology. Derived from the inner cell mass of early embryos, called blastocysts, these cells possess the remarkable ability to differentiate into virtually any cell type in the body, a property known as pluripotency. Mouse ES cells were first isolated in 1981 by Martin Evans, Matthew Kaufman, and independently by Gail Martin. These cells can grow indefinitely in culture while maintaining their pluripotency, making them invaluable research tools. When injected into mouse embryos, they integrate seamlessly and contribute to all tissues of the developing animal, including the germline. This property has revolutionized genetic research by enabling the creation of knockout mice, animals with specific genes disabled, to study their function. In appropriate culture conditions, mouse ES cells form embryoid bodies resembling early embryos but lacking proper spatial organization. When implanted into compatible adult mice, they form teratomas, tumors containing chaotic arrangements of various tissue types, from hair to teeth to neural tissue. This teratoma-forming ability serves as the definitive test of pluripotency. Human ES cells, first isolated in 1998 by James Thompson after extensive work with non-human primates, share these fundamental properties but come with profound ethical considerations. The controversy stems solely from their embryonic origin. They require the destruction of human blastocysts, which some consider equivalent to destroying human life. These cells typically come from surplus embryos from IVF clinics, where parents may choose to donate unused embryos for research rather than discard them. The ethical debate hinges on when personhood begins. Most biomedical scientists consider personhood to develop gradually and view pre-implantation embryos as more akin to cultured cells than human beings. Religious perspectives vary widely. Catholic and Buddhist views consider personhood beginning at conception, while Jewish and Islamic teachings hold embryos have no special status until 40 days, and Hindu beliefs vary based on reincarnation timing. Beyond potential therapeutic applications, human ES cells offer three other valuable uses. Studying normal human development without experimenting directly on embryos, investigating cellular pathology and genetic diseases, and generating unlimited supplies of difficult-to-obtain cell types like cardiomyocytes and hepatocytes for drug screening, potentially reducing animal testing. The intersection of stem cell biology with cloning technology has created one of the most remarkable breakthroughs in modern medicine. Personalized, pluripotent stem cells genetically matched to specific patients, potentially eliminating immune rejection concerns that plague conventional transplantation. Cloning has deep roots in developmental biology. In the early 20th century, Hans Spemann demonstrated that nuclei from early embryonic cells could support development of complete embryos. Later experiments by Briggs, King, and Gurdon showed that even nuclei from differentiated cells could, with very low efficiency, support development. The watershed moment came in 1997 when Ian Wilmot created Dolly the sheep using somatic cell nuclear transfer, taking a nucleus from an adult sheep cell and transplanting it into an enucleated oocyte. This technique opened the possibility of therapeutic cloning, creating ES cell lines genetically identical to a specific donor, not to create cloned individuals, but to provide immunologically compatible cells for transplantation. However, human therapeutic cloning faces significant challenges. The process is inefficient, and obtaining human oocyte is difficult and involves risk to female volunteers. A revolutionary alternative emerged in 2006 when Shinya Yamanaka discovered induced pluripotent stem cells, iPS cells. By introducing just four specific genes, OCT4, SOX2, KLF4, and cMIC, into normal fibroblasts, he could generate ES-like cells. This discovery earned Yamanaka the Nobel Prize and sparked worldwide research activity, with human iPS cells reported just 1 year later. The true breakthrough of iPS technology lies in creating patient-specific stem cell lines, something that therapeutic cloning attempted but rarely achieved. Many such lines have already been established, including from people with specific genetic diseases. The key advantage is immunological compatibility. Differentiated cells made from these lines would be perfect matches for their donors, potentially eliminating rejection issues. Initially made from skin fibroblasts requiring surgical biopsies, iPS cells can now be generated from simple blood samples. For clinical applications, researchers are developing methods to reprogram cells without viral DNA integration, which can cause mutations or tumor formation. Despite enthusiasm from opponents of embryonic stem cell research, iPS cells raise their own ethical questions about donor rights, genetic privacy, and potential misuse in reproductive technologies. Diabetes represents perhaps the most promising target for stem cell therapy, affecting over 200 million people worldwide, with numbers expected to double within 25 years. The disease's global impact is particularly severe in developing nations, where access to insulin and monitoring devices remains limited. Despite insulin's discovery in 1921 revolutionizing treatment, diabetes remains a serious condition, consuming 10-15% of healthcare budgets in wealthy nations, with annual costs exceeding $760 billion globally. The long-term complications from imprecise glucose control include heart disease, stroke, blindness, kidney failure, and peripheral vascular disease, often leading to amputations and decreased quality of life. The key therapeutic target is the beta cell found in pancreatic islets of Langerhans, which produces insulin to regulate blood glucose. These specialized endocrine cells comprise just 2% of the pancreas, but are crucial for enabling glucose uptake by tissues. Without insulin, blood glucose rises uncontrollably while the body cannot utilize this essential energy source. Beta cells function as sophisticated glucose sensors, releasing precise amounts of insulin in response to minute changes in blood sugar levels, a complexity that has proven challenging to replicate artificially. A partially effective cell therapy already exists, transplanting islets from deceased organ donors into diabetic patients using the Edmonton Protocol for immunosuppression. This treatment particularly helps patients with hypoglycemia unawareness, a dangerous condition where patients can't detect dangerously low blood sugar levels, risking seizures or coma. While demonstrably effective through measurable improvements in blood glucose and C-peptide levels, this approach faces two critical limitations: severely inadequate donor supply, less than 1% of need, and the need for lifelong immunosuppression, which carries risks of infection and cancer. Creating beta cells from pluripotent stem cells follows developmental biology principles established over the past 15 years. The five-step differentiation process mimics natural development: endoderm formation using activin A, foregut specification through FGF and BMP inhibition, pancreatic bud development via retinoic acid, endocrine precursor formation through Notch inhibition, and finally beta cell maturation using specific growth factors. Each step requires specific inducing factors, with success monitored by tracking key developmental genes such as PDX1, NGN3, and insulin. Current protocols produce cells resembling immature fetal beta cells that aren't fully glucose responsive, though implanting pancreatic bud stage cells into animals allows them to mature properly over 3 to 4 months. The approach would likely involve encapsulating these cells in semi-permeable materials like alginate or other biocompatible polymers to prevent immune rejection when implanted in humans, while allowing insulin secretion and glucose sensing. despite promising animal studies showing that beta cell precursors derived from human ES cells can reverse diabetes in immunodeficient mice, maintaining normal blood glucose levels for over 6 months, progress toward clinical application remains slow. Current diabetes treatments already offer near-normal lifespans for patients with good glucose control, setting a high bar for new therapies. Any stem cell treatment must demonstrate both superior efficacy and exceptional safety, with particular attention to preventing tumor formation and ensuring long-term cell survival. Early-phase clinical trials are now underway testing encapsulated stem cell-derived beta cells, representing a crucial step toward this revolutionary therapy. While diabetes represents the most promising application for stem cell therapy, researchers are pursuing several other significant targets, each with unique challenges and potential. Parkinson's disease affects 1 to 2% of people during their lifetime, making it the second most common neurodegenerative condition after Alzheimer's. The disease stems from the loss of dopamine-producing neurons in the substantia nigra region of the brainstem. By the time symptoms appear, patients have lost 80% or more of these cells, resulting in decreased stimulation of the motor cortex and the characteristic rigidity, tremor, and slow movements. While L-DOPA treatment has been used since the 1960s with some benefit, it causes side effects including uncontrolled movements and becomes less effective as the disease progresses. Deep brain stimulation, FDA approved in 2002, provides another treatment option. Despite promising cell production technology and animal experiments for dopaminergic neurons from human pluripotent stem cells, the risk-benefit ratio compared to existing treatments remains unconvincing, especially considering Parkinson's patients often survive 20 years post-diagnosis, creating a long window for potential complications. Heart disease presents another major target. Unlike diabetes or Parkinson's treatments that replace specific lost cells, current clinical heart cell therapy doesn't actually replace cardiac muscle. Instead, researchers are developing methods to create cardiomyocytes from pluripotent stem cells, testing them in animal models where coronary arteries are ligated to simulate heart attacks. While experiments show cell persistence and improved cardiac function, results are complicated because grafts typically contain blood vessel progenitors alongside cardiomyocytes. Surprisingly, the first FDA-approved clinical trial using human ES cells targeted spinal trauma rather than these more anticipated conditions. Spinal injuries present complex challenges. Damage to nerve fiber tracts causes paralysis and sensation loss, while local cell death and scar formation prevent regrowth. The Geron Corporation trial, approved in 2009 but temporarily suspended over tumor concerns, focused on introducing healthy oligodendrocytes, myelin-producing cells, to remyelinate spared fibers. Age-related macular degeneration, ARMD, represents another promising application. Affecting about 10% of people over 65, it causes deterioration of the macula, the central retinal area responsible for detailed vision. The first clinical trials using retinal pigment epithelium, RPE cells derived from human pluripotent stem cells, began in 2011. This application is particularly suitable for cell therapy given the lack of alternative treatments for the dry form of ARMD, the ability to monitor grafts through the pupil, and the option to remove the eye if complications arise. While pluripotent stem cells capture headlines, tissue-specific stem cells quietly maintain and repair our bodies throughout life. Unlike their pluripotent counterparts, these cells are restricted in what they can become but are essential for tissue renewal and repair. Understanding tissue-specific stem cells requires examining how the body grows and renews itself. Cell turnover, involving the birth of new cells and death of old ones, varies significantly between tissues. Charles LeBlanc classified tissues into three types: postmitotic, never divide after formation, like neurons; expanding, divide during growth, then stop; and renewal tissues, continuously replace cells through stem cell activity. The hematopoietic system in bone marrow represents the paradigm of stem cell function. Hematopoietic stem cells, HSCs, represent only a small fraction of bone marrow cells, but produce all blood and immune cells over time. Located near bone cells or blood vessels, HSCs divide to produce both self-renewal and transit-amplifying cells called common lymphocyte progenitors and common myeloid progenitors, which generate all blood and immune cell types. Only renewal tissues contain true stem cells that continuously self-renew and generate differentiated cells throughout life. However, some non-renewal tissues have special regenerative populations. Skeletal muscle contains satellite cells that normally remain quiescent but activate after injury to proliferate and form new muscle fibers. The liver regenerates effectively not through stem cells but through division of existing hepatocytes, though oval cells in bile ducts may become either hepatocytes or bile duct cells when regular hepatocyte division is suppressed. Both neurons in the brain and cardiomyocytes in the heart are postmitotic cells that don't normally divide once formed. In the brain, however, new neuron formation occurs in two specific regions: the lateral ventricle lining, where neurons migrate to the olfactory bulb, and the dentate gyrus of the hippocampus, involved in learning and memory. Both areas contain neural stem cells that can generate both neurons and supporting glial cells. The Karolinska Institute developed a sensitive method using carbon-14, 14C, from atmospheric nuclear tests to determine cell birthdays. Their studies on cerebral cortex neurons showed no renewal whatsoever. All were formed during fetal life. For heart cells, turnover appears less than 1% per year, declining with age. Unlike lower vertebrates like fish and amphibians, mammals show no convincing evidence of significant cell renewal in the cerebral cortex, either normally or following damage. While much stem cell research remains experimental, several therapies have already proven their clinical value, with hematopoietic stem cell transplantation, HSCT, standing as the gold standard. Modern HSCT has evolved significantly from its origins. For leukemia treatment, the graft's primary purpose now is to destroy residual tumor cells through the graft versus leukemia effect, rather than simply rescuing patients from radiation or chemotherapy. In practice, HLA matching is scored out of 8, covering 2 main gene groups inherited from each parent. Siblings have a 1 in 4 chance of being perfect matches, but only about 20% of patients have perfectly matched siblings. Scientific advances in the 1980s led to the discovery of hematopoietic growth factors. GCF allows mobilization of stem cells from bone marrow into peripheral blood, enabling collection without painful bone marrow harvesting. Umbilical cord blood has become another valuable source of HSCs, containing higher concentrations than adult blood and causing less severe graft versus host disease. Because allogenic HSCT remains extremely hazardous, at least 10% treatment-associated mortality, it's reserved for life-threatening conditions. Autologous transplants, using the patient's own cells, represent just over half of all HSCTs. These eliminate rejection risk, but may reintroduce cancer cells. HSCT is also used for lethal genetic blood or immune system diseases and certain enzyme deficiencies. Beyond HSCT, a few other genuine stem cell therapies have proven successful. A pioneering application involves using cultured epidermis to treat severe burns. When burns are too extensive for traditional autologous skin grafts, Howard Green's method allows expansion of epidermal stem cells in culture. A small biopsy can be expanded to cover the entire body in about 3 weeks. Though life-saving, this therapy never became widespread due to the rarity of severe burns in wealthy countries and the absence of advanced clinical facilities in developing regions where such burns are more common. Another successful stem cell therapy addresses corneal blindness. The cornea's outer epithelial layer normally regenerates from stem cells in the surrounding limbus. When the limbus is damaged, e.g. by chemical burns, corneal transplants fail, Dr. Michelle DeLuca developed a method where limbal cells from a patient's healthy eye are expanded in culture and grafted to the damaged eye, restoring vision to several dozen patients. Currently, no true stem cell therapy exists for the heart. No one has successfully grafted cells that repopulate and replace damaged cardiac muscle. However, numerous clinical trials have involved grafting various cell types into diseased hearts, with results showing only slight temporary improvements in cardiac function, typically 2% increase in cardiac output lasting months. Despite modern medicine's achievements, we still face devastating conditions like permanent paralysis from spinal injury, limb loss, heart failure, and many cancers. While biomedical scientists believe regenerative treatments and cures will eventually emerge, progress will likely be slower than most expect. Inflated expectations stem from multiple sources: financial incentives to attract attention, ethical debates over ES cells prompting promises of rapid cures, and politicians viewing stem cell therapy as the next big thing to rescue failing economies. The California Institute for Regenerative Medicine exemplifies this hype, funded by $3 billion in state bonds, partly to circumvent federal funding restrictions on human ES cell research. While Californians expected quick cures, scientists privately acknowledge that pluripotent stem cell therapies may take decades to materialize. Have you ever wondered why medical advances seem to come more slowly now, despite vastly increased research funding? The biomedical sciences generally produce fewer clinical outputs now than in the 1940s-50s, despite vastly increased investment, as the easy discoveries have been made and regulatory approval processes have become increasingly cumbersome. HSCT offers surprising lessons for modern stem cell therapy development. It's not a product, but a service, generating wealth indirectly through ancillary products and services. The HSCT story defies prediction. It succeeded without detailed mechanistic understanding, developed without modern regulatory oversight, and its economic benefits emerged in unexpected ways. Today's regulatory environment would likely never approve such aggressive initial treatments. The positive lessons include recognizing that successful therapies require time. About 20 years pass between discovering bone marrow cells cured radiation sickness in mice and establishing human treatments. Scientific knowledge remains crucial, not necessarily for inventing treatments, but for measuring outcomes accurately. Within the next few years, we'll likely see clinical trials using pluripotent cell-derived beta cells for diabetes, cardiomyocytes for heart disease, and dopaminergic neurons for Parkinson's. For tissue-specific stem cells, HSCT will see incremental improvements and expanded use for genetic diseases. Direct reprogramming shows particular promise, using transcription factors to transform fibroblasts or white blood cells directly into neurons, cardiomyocytes, or beta cells without passing through pluripotent stages, eliminating teratoma risks. Cell reimplantation methods will also advance, moving from simple injections to sophisticated tissue-engineered implants with multiple cell types arranged in three-dimensional structures with vascular systems. Long-term, stem cell biology represents enormous potential within the broader context of regenerative medicine. However, accurate prediction remains extraordinarily difficult, making skepticism about miracle cure claims from private clinics essential. The future of stem cell medicine will likely unfold gradually through careful science rather than revolutionary breakthroughs, ultimately transforming medicine in ways we can barely imagine today.